and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
Hey now, welcome. It's the Local Edition, community news for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricio Bio, for tonight. We have a packed show for you. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking to the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance about their upcoming Arts for Sullivan Grants program. But first, we'll be talking to AARP. They're lobbying in Albany for many years for services for seniors living in rural areas. AARP recently came out with a report that states older folks living in rural areas are sicker and more disabled and have inadequate transportation to healthcare. On the phone with us now to talk more about this is Beth Fingle, State Director for New York AARP. Beth, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
In the intro, I gave a few reasons why rural seniors are getting less access to healthcare, but can you expand on that, on why rural seniors are living less than folks living in urban areas?
Well, I guess the first reason is that there are less physicians per 100,000 population in rural New York. And there are over a million people who live in rural New York. That's a lot of people to be worried about how many doctors are available for them. So rural New York lost 3.1 physicians per every 100,000 population. That was from 2010 to 2017. I don't have the latest data, but anecdotally we're hearing that that has only increased in the past few years. So where you have less primary doctors, people are not getting appointments when they need them. Doctors are not conveniently located for them. And in fact, I think most rural New Yorkers know that there aren't healthcare systems that are close enough for many of them. So if you don't have access to good healthcare, you have to expect to have not as good healthcare outcomes.
What is AARP doing in Albany to sort of better the situation as far as getting this much needed help to the seniors?
Well, first of all, I think there's a few areas. First of all, we have worked to make New York State an age-friendly state. And with that, the governor, previous governor, but the current governor too, has committed that 50% of the hospital systems in New York State will be age-friendly. So that's really a very important part there. There is a shortage of gerontologists, not only in New York, but all across the country, which is something that we all need to be working on. And we also know that access to the Internet and to high-speed Internet is really lagging in rural New York. And, in fact, New York recently ranked 46th in the nation in digital equity. We're close to the bottom of the deck on that one.
Right.
Now, people today, especially in COVID times, and especially in rural communities, really need to have access to telehealth. And you can't have access to telehealth if you don't have good Internet service. So people in rural areas have, a double whammy against them, really, because they don't have doctors necessarily located near them, nor
right.
enough doctors. And then on top of that, if they want to go for the alternative of telehealth, and then they don't have good Internet service, they can't access that either. It's really an unbelievable inequity.
One of the things that I run into in my own life that I experienced taking care of an elderly person, my father, who's 82 years old, was we have this access to the technology, telehealth and telemedicine, but him understanding how to use it and actually how to connect with a doctor via Zoom or anything like that sometimes has been a struggle. Is there any kind of services that sort of help people like that or give some kind of training to seniors to help them connect with their doctors?
So actually, it's funny because one of the recommendations in this report was to have increased access to telehealth technology, equipment, and training. So that's absolutely
right.
imperative. to have done. So you've got to get the service. You have to make sure that, you know, the antenna are there, the wires, or however it's going to be in your community. And then on top of that, you're absolutely right. You have to know how to use the technology.
Right.
The good news is the technology is getting easier and easier, but there is a digital divide. Older people, a lot of them have not had as much experience with technology, and if they've been out of the workplace for a long time, that makes it even harder. But the systems have gotten easier. I don't know if you've ever had a telehealth appointment. I live in the middle of Manhattan, and I have telehealth appointments all the time.
Right.
And you can do it on your iPhone, you can do it on your iPad, or you can do it, you know, on your regular computer. So, and it's incredibly simple, but people don't realize it because they're kind of intimidated by technology, which is something that we as a society absolutely have to overcome. So that's the answer. We also need to have more first responders.
Right.
We know that there's a shortage of them in rural New York. You know, so even if you call 911, you don't know if you're going to be able to get an emergency services there in a short amount of time, which is really, you know, that's a life or death situation.
That's one of the big telltale signs of the difference between living in a rural area and living in an urban area is the transportation and the ease to facilities like hospitals. And in New York City, you can hop on a subway or a bus and get there. Here, you're 20 minutes from anywhere, and you need some kind of car transportation to get there.
And how far do you have to go for prescription drugs?
Yeah.
Because very often you have to travel really far for that. They're expensive. AARP has been working both federally and at the state level to make drug prices fair, because they're just not.
So, right. This definitely affects folks living on a limited income when sometimes they hear the horror stories of people have to choose between their medication and food sometimes.
That's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, part of the bill that was just passed in federal government on the Build Back Better, which the House passed, and we're hoping that the Senate will pass, has a provision for drugs in there that we feel are really important. First of all, there will be a cap on insulin copays of $35. Now, when you know that in rural residents, 65-plus are much more likely to have diabetes. In fact, the prevalence is 17% higher in rural areas rather than urban areas. So that's very important for rural citizens.
Also, in a recent article that came out on the Daily Star, you mentioned that isolation is one of the biggest factors that has affected seniors during this pandemic, those who have limited access to their loved ones or even, like I said, medical care. And can you expand on that and how isolation has been such a big factor in seniors' healthcare?
You know, you're absolutely right, and you're right. It is even worse in rural areas. I mean, if you're in a city, you could knock on your neighbor's door. But you don't necessarily have that option if you're living in a more isolated community. And plus, there has been waiting lists for home and community-based services, which AARP has been trying to get more money into home and community-based services so that the area agencies on aging will not have wait lists and can get right out and help older people. The other part is isolation, which I think you touched on, is so important, because if you're isolated, it is equal to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
And that ties right back to the health prevention pieces that we were talking about before. So we really have, and it also ties back to the internet, because that's another tool that we can use to try to help people feel less lonely. And we are pleased that New York State has taken up a mapping initiative, but we need more than that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. One of the favorite things I like to do with my daughter is to FaceTime with my father so they can see each other. And just because of that, she recognizes my father. She said, you know, Grandpa, Grandpa. So, and that makes his day, just to see her playing in real time. Is there any services that New Yorkers living in our listening area, in the Sullivan Catskills to northeast to Pennsylvania, any services from AARP that they should know about that we have not touched on?
Well, you know, you mentioned that you're a caregiver for your father. And in fact, we know that family caregivers spend on the average of over $7,200 a year on caregiving for their loved ones. So we believe that New York State should have a tax credit for family caregivers. to help offset those costs. And it might be paying for medications. It might be putting a new ramp in your father's house if he didn't have access. It could be chore services. It's unbelievable the amount of work that an average caregiver gives, and it's out of their own pocket or out of their own time. And that's, if we don't have family caregivers such as yourself, Patricio, who look out for their other, for their family members and help keep them at home and keep them at home safe, then those family members are going to end up in long-term care facilities.
Right.
And in New York State, the predominant, overly predominant payer for long-term care and nursing homes or assisted livings, is Medicaid. And who pays for Medicaid? We all do. It comes out of our tax dollars. So it behooves us first to respect our elders and try to keep them at home as long as they want, because that's what they want. I mean, that's how they see themselves aging with dignity, and we have to respect that. But at the same time, it's also the financially prudent thing to do as taxpayers to make sure that we support family caregivers.
I'm aware of New York City. The city will pay you to take care of your loved one if there's a need. Is that program actually statewide, or is that just a city thing?
Well, there is a statewide program
for
that actually in place. So, yes.
Oh, there is. Okay.
There is, yeah.
And another thing,
actually,
go ahead. Another thing, I don't know if you can speak about this. I'm sure AARP is also advocates for seniors. One thing that, like I said, run into a problem with, like, my father is he's not born in his country. English is his second language. He understands it. He went to college here, but obviously speaking his native tongue is much more easier for him, and he can understand better, especially, you know, going to a doctor's appointment, medical appointments. Is there any advocate? What I'm finding is hard time to find even translators or even having the test done, like for diagnostics, like hearing tests or any kind of eye test done in his native language. Is there any kind of advocacy the AARP offers for seniors like that?
When you say advocacy, we're always advocating
right.
for government to have the policies in place to do exactly that. In fact, we've done an incredible amount of advocacy, both in New York City and in New York State, to try to make sure that healthcare services are in many, many languages. And so if you're not finding that, then you need to let your county executive know. You need to let
right.
your state legislators know that that service is not available locally, and they will, I'm sure, look for ways to make sure that they can get that coverage.
Beth, is there anything that we have not touched on that you want our listeners to know about?
Well, I think, you know, just to me, rural older New Yorkers have really become the forgotten New Yorkers. And that's because they are isolated, and that's because they can't access services as easily as others. And because of that, they are having much poorer health care. And, of course, now we know that they're not living as long, and we know that they have many more diseases. And so what I would say is we hope that people who are listening to this radio show will call their local legislators, their state senators, and their state assemblymen, and also the governor, and let their elected officials know that this is important to them, that it's about quality of life, but it's also about their health, you know, their everyday health, which cannot be trifled with, and we need to address it, and we can't keep forgetting about them.
Right. Well said. Well said. We were talking to Beth Fingle, State Director for New York AARP, and talking about rural seniors and the services they need and the help that they do desperately need from all of us. Thank you, Beth, for talking to us and letting us know all about this great information from AARP.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much, Beth. We'll be right back soon. We'll be talking to Delaware Valley Arts Alliance about their new grants program and meeting their newest grants manager. This is the Local Edition.
Your revolutionary guide to the Green New Deal. I'm Josh Fox, coming to you from the heart of the Catskills on Radio Catskill, Every week, we'll be talking with notable figures from politics, music, art, activism, and social justice, discussing the issues of the environment, the Green New Deal, climate change, fracking, and how we can make the world a better place on my favorite radio station in the world, WJFF.
Saturday afternoon at 1.
Hey there, how many days do you think you listen to this NPR station in 2021? Even for a few minutes at a time? That time adds up. It helped to keep you informed. Today is Giving Tuesday, when every donation adds up for this station. Here's how to give.
Give now to support public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
And welcome back to the local edition. The Arts for Sullivan Community Grants Program assists nonprofits, arts, cultural, and heritage groups who wish to create and present year-round program in Sullivan County. And if you're interested in applying for those grants, they need to know that their deadline is December 15th. The DVA's newest grant manager, Erica Freiberger, is on the phone with us now to tell us more about this grant program. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Patricio. Thank you for having me.
Before we go into the grants program for the next cycle, you're the new grants manager for the DVAA. Can you tell us about yourself and how did you find yourself to be part of the DVAA?
I am, yes. Yeah. So I started my role as the grants manager for DVAA at the beginning of October. Very excited to be part of the grants program. I spent the last 12 years working for museums and arts nonprofits in New York City, and I'm now full-time in the area. I believe in making the arts accessible, so I'm thrilled to be working as the grants manager at DVAA to help fund arts throughout the county.
Right. Well, congratulations on the new position and welcome to the area.
Thank you.
Right. Now, Arts for Sullivan deadline, like I said before, is December 15th. Who can apply for this grant cycle funding and to fund the project?
Yeah, so this funding is for artists and arts organizations that are located in Sullivan County. So nonprofits are eligible as long as they have their 501c3 status. This year, there are three different opportunities. So there are $1,000 fellowships for artists who work in the visual arts and literary arts. There are also awards of $500 to $3,500 for community arts projects, as well as a new grant this year for $500 to $1,500 to support live in-person performances.
That's great. Now, I know in the past there have been workshops. Are the workshops started already? And who should be attending these workshops?
So, yeah, the workshops are happening. There are three taking place this week. These workshops are for anyone who is located in Sullivan County, who maybe has an idea for programming that they're thinking of for this year, and they're interested in learning more about the application process. So there is a workshop taking place tomorrow, Wednesday, December 1st, at 5 p.m., which is over Zoom. And then there are two in-person sessions that are happening later on this week. So there's one on Friday at noon, which is December 3rd, at the Ethel Burt Crawford Public Library in Monticello. And then there's one on Saturday, December 4th, at 11 a.m. at the Sullivan County Visitor Association, which is in Liberty.
Right. That's great. Now, looking at the website, it says, you know, you said the Zoom is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Now, there's a presentation with Focus on Theater. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So we're really fortunate to have another organization that's going to come in and talk about opportunities that are specific just to theater organizations throughout the county. So don't miss it.
Right, definitely. Now, you know, we're still in the midst of this pandemic, and I understand a lot of changes were made to the grants program last year because of the pandemic. Have any changes remained and anything new for this grant cycle?
I would say for the most part, the process and the awards are pretty similar to last year. For the community arts grants, there are the opportunity to do them virtually instead of in person. But what's new this year is the Restart New York grant, which really those funds are intended to boost the local art sector through bringing back live in-person performances. And so this one, you know, is also pretty unique because it can fund projects that maybe already happened during the summer. So really that grant period is July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022.
Oh, that's great. So I guess it's like an initiative to get back to some kind of normalcy, like live theater and live shows, you know, pre-pandemic.
Exactly, yes.
Right. So once an artist or organization applies for this grant, they go to the workshops, they do everything they have to do to apply for it. What happens after that?
Yeah, so after that, there is a panel of Sullivan County residents who review all of the applications. So they're looking and scoring the applications based on artistic quality and the service to the public. After that, the panel makes recommendations of who should be awarded funding to DVAA, and then DVAA notifies all applicants of the awards that they received.
Okay, right. Now, can you go over some of the important dates and sort of guess websites that artists and organizations should know to apply for these grants?
Absolutely. So the big important date is that applications are due on Wednesday, December 15th, so it's coming up, and that the website to find out more information is DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org/grants.
Right. Now, like I said, you're fairly new, but is there anything else that we should know about that you know that our listeners should know?
Well, I think that everyone should just know about this really unique opportunity, and this is just like a way to really, you know, provide exposure and opportunities for the really rich cultural organizations and artists that make up the community.
Right. Now, and like I said, this pandemic has, you know, affected everyone, and I'm sure, as you said, it has affected the grants programming. Last year, I know there was a reduction in some of the funding or changes in some of the funding. Is that the same this year? Or is there any kind of changing, like less funding or more funding? Because it was a scary moment that there was not going to be any funding at one point. It was considered just because no one knew. Especially when the state was doing the major cuts. Do you know if this year has the funds have gone back to pre-pandemic levels?
I would say that they're probably leveling out. So there are definitely more opportunities to support artists and arts organizations than there have been in the past. So definitely, you know, people should be applying.
Right. And for them to apply, they should visit the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance website. Can you give that website one more time?
Sure thing. It is DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org. And then to find information specifically about the grants, such as /grants under the Empower section.
Right. Well, Erica, thank you so much for talking to us. Let us know about this grants program. And again, welcome to the area and welcome, you know, to the DVAA. So let me ask you a question. You've been new to the area. Anything else that sort of stands out to you that you like?
I mean, it's great. There's so many great artists and organizations here, and I really welcome the opportunity to meet everyone and sort of see live performances back in action.
Right. It's definitely. I look forward to seeing all the great work that comes out of this grants program that you guys are holding. So, the workshops are happening. Those who want to apply, get in touch with the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. Erica, thank you so much for talking to us and letting us know about the stuff that's going on with the grants program.
Thank you so much, Patricio.
This is The Local Edition, and we'll be right back.
Secret. Every week, the Retro Cocktail Hour digs deep into the record library for space-age bachelor pad music, tiki tunes from the 1950s, TV crime jazz, swingin' soundtracks, and more. It's not your father's record collection. Oh, wait. It is your father's record collection. The Retro Cocktail Hour on WJFF Radio Catskill in Jeffersonville, New York.
Wednesday night at 8 on Radio Catskill.
The year is almost over, and the gift you make today will help this NPR station bring you the news you'll need tomorrow. Here's how to give now and keep your future self in the know.
Support us now and beyond by making your year-end gift now at WJFFradio.org. Your support today leads to a greater tomorrow. Give now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
How important are these spaces for wildlife, for ourselves?
What are we looking at now in the political climate? Are you able to share with us your experience with the vaccination itself? What kinds of lettuce do you grow?
Asking the questions that need to be asked, having the conversations that need to be heard. Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk, Wednesday night at 7.
I know that you have a couple of pigs that live in your house.
There's three right now. There's Wilbur, Joaquin, and Princess...
I'm Jason Dole. Happy Tuesday. It's Giving Tuesday, and we're asking you to make your year-end gift at WJFFradio.org. If you haven't already, Giving Tuesday, it's about doing good in the community, supporting those nonprofits that enrich your life. Remember, your funds help Radio Catskill keep listeners informed about what other local nonprofits are doing in the community, the services they offer, the challenges they face, the lives they touch. Please support this good work here on Giving Tuesday. And thank you so much for listening.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you to our first guest, Beth Finkel from the ARP, telling us to know about the help that's out there for the rural seniors. And thank you to Erica from the DVA, talking about the grants program that's happening. If you're an artist out there who wants their project funded, then you have to check out the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. We'll be back tomorrow with Liam Mayo from the River Reporter, letting us know about the local topics and news that's happening. Also, we checked in with Jim Huntington for the local economic perspective. All that starts tomorrow at 6:30 on the local edition. And if you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your podcast: Google, Apple, Stitcher. Search for WJFF, the local edition. Subscribe, share it, tell your friends. Find us on social media. We're at WJFF Radio Catskill. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We post every day, Monday to Friday, at 4 p.m. on Who's on the Show. You can visit our website, WJFF Radio/The Local Edition. Let me give you that one more time, WJFFRadio.org/The Local Edition. You can find upcoming guests, see past guests, and you can even listen to the podcast right there on the page. So you've been listening to The Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricia Rubio. We have one last look at the weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 25. And on Wednesday, partly sunny, high of 45. Wednesday night, freezing rain, low of 29. And on Thursday, freezing rain, high of 49. Thursday night, chance of shower, low of 30. Once again, this is The Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricia Rubio. Have a good night, Lucy. This is Radio Catskill, your NPR station, WJFF Jeffersonville. And coming up is Music Emporium and Kusar Grace.
good music, you're listening to Radio Catskill. Your weekend can't even begin until Clyde Alvin Yates III sets it off Saturday night at 7. At 9, an hour of global sounds from the African diaspora on Afropop. Then at 10, selector Starkey and DJ Chuck spend 4 hours of funk, hip-hop, roots reggae, club classics, and more live on Old School Sessions. Saturday night, only on Radio Catskill.